J.C. Corcoran Podcast.
You guys are a great crowd. I feel a little nauseous. I had a Hot Pocket for dinner. Anybody else have a Hot Pocket? Never really see that on a menu, you know? I will have a Caesar salad and the Hot Pocket. There's no waiter coming up to you. Well, let's see, today's specials, we have a sea bass, which is flambéed, and we have a Hot Pocket, which is cooked in a dirty microwave. That comes with a side of Metamucil. Is the Hot Pocket cold in the middle? It's frozen. I'll have the Hot Pocket. I buy Hot Pockets. I go in grocery stores. I'm like, yeah, I'll get these. I've never eaten a Hot Pocket and then afterwards been, I'm glad I ate that. Yeah, I was looking at a box of Hot Pockets. They actually have a warning printed on the side. It said, warning, you just bought Hot Pockets. I hope you're drunk or heading home to a trailer. You hillbilly, enjoy the next NASCAR event. Hot Pocket. Hot Pocket. I love that. It kind of sounds like a sexual disorder, though. Look, Bobby, sometimes when fellas don't go on dates, they develop what we call a Hot Pocket. Doesn't mean you're bad. It just means you need a girlfriend. Thank you very much.
Now, I'm just getting warmed up.
Happy to see you again.
Don't be nervous. Don't be rocky. You're a teenage guest as jockey now.
And let me begin by wishing you a beautiful look.
Did that voice inside you say, I've heard it all before? It's like deja vu all over again.
Thursday, the 30th of September, the final day of the month. Here at jconthewine.com. How you doing? Well. Whole second half of the podcast today will be dedicated to the release of the new movie called The Many Saints of Newark, the prequel to The Sopranos, and a couple of people who are in the movie we talked to over the years, including Ray Liotta, who's got a major role, and also some pretty funny stuff related to The Sopranos. So all of that coming up in the second half of the podcast here today. Well, I don't know anybody who thought that the Cardinals would never lose another game, and they lost one yesterday, and the streak ends at 17, but you already know that. The good news in all of this, buried somewhere, is the fact that Nolan Arenado will not be exercising his option, meaning that he'll be coming back to the St. Louis Cardinals next year. You could make an argument that the winning streak ending is a good thing, because the more that this thing went on, the more the focus was going to be on the winning streak, and obviously it means you're playing good baseball if you continue to, you know, have this winning streak extended. But really, the focus needs to be on next week in that wild card game. You don't want the focus to be in the wrong areas. And this has been great. It's been great for the fans, for the players, for the broadcasters, for everybody involved. It's been a fun, fun thing. But, you know, you got to have your eye on the ball, because that game next Wednesday against either Los Angeles or San Francisco has got to be the main thrust of your attention from now until the middle of next week. Couple of strange anniversaries here. On this date in 1992, the Riverfront Times annual readers poll listed me as St. Louis's fifth best radical. And also on this date in 2005, comedian Richard Jenny. This is a funny, funny guy. He co-starred with Jim Carrey in The Mask. He had numerous comedy specials on all these different platforms, all these different cable network, Showtime and HBO. But he was also manic depressive. And it's hard to understand how a guy can go out there, stand on stage, do a comedy set for an hour and a half, walk off stage, and be depressed. The same thing with Daryl Hammond from Saturday Night Live. It's just heartbreaking to hear these guys tell these stories. So in 2005, Richard Jenny was performing at the Two Hill. So a couple of years later, he's playing the boat. I think it was the Alton Bell Casino, could it have been? I'm not really sure. It's one of the boats. And I went to go see him. And when he came out on stage, I was just absolutely shocked because he had lost so much weight. I mean, he was down to just bare bones. His act was great. He was funnier than ever. And after the show, I handed my business card to one of the security guys, and I said, would you send a note back to Richard and just tell him that JC is here if he'd like to come out and say hi? Because we had had him on the air on the phone a couple of weeks prior to that to push the ticket sales. And so sure enough, he came back out, and he seemed very, very odd. Very, very odd. I mean, I didn't feel like this was even the same guy that I had talked to on the phone. You could just tell something was wrong with him upstairs, shall we say. And I believe it was 2 weeks after that show, 2 weeks later, he was dead. He shot himself in the head. He had been living in Phoenix with a television reporter, very, very pretty gal, and nothing. You just shake your head and wonder how something like this could happen. Here's a little bit of what Richard Jenny was capable of.
On the other hand, the woman never tells you on the first date that she happens to drink some red wine and has some PMS that she's capable of crimes against humanity. Yeah. So, you know, you can't blame the woman for being in a bad mood. You know, sometimes she's having her period, the chemicals are moving through there. Sometimes those chemicals mix with the chemicals in the wine, and it's like a witch's brew. A little menstruation, a bottle of Cabernet. Now you'll be wrong no matter what you say. We went out to a restaurant on her birthday, and we were having a really good time, but she was drinking red wine and having PMS, so I'm on full security alert. I know a fight's coming. I don't know where, I don't know how. I just know it'll be long, it'll be bad, and I won't know how it started. Sure enough, this waitress comes walking toward our table with the biggest bouncy waitress knockers, proving once again that tits are like the police. They're always walking in when you don't want them to. If you're looking for them, no chance. When you don't want them, boom, 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 boom. This is when your brain sends an emergency message down to your eyeballs, like, attention eyeballs, this is the brain. Mayday, mayday, mayday. We have two giant presumes closing from the south. Do not engage. Repeat, do not engage. She's drinking red wine and there's PMS. We are at DEFCON 3. I say again, two bouncing honkers are closing. Chest size, 3, 9er. Cup size, David, David, David. Do not engage those tits. But it's too late because your eyeballs are calling back like this. Yeah, you're breaking up a little bit there, brain. Looks like we got a couple of zooms closing in from the south here. We're going to bank left and swoop in and get a closer look at this situation. So I guess I glanced at him. Across the table, here's the view.
Do you like the waitress's body? Do you think she's attractive? Because if you do, maybe you should be with her instead of me.
Go home then. This is when you hear the alarm from the end of every science fiction movie you've ever seen when a planet's blowing up and you're, and 3 minutes to total destruction. There are 28 million possible answers to do you like the waitress's tits. All of them are incorrect. So you're sitting there going, to her boobs, did I like? No?
Why do you have to lie every second of your life? I'd have more respect for if you acted like a man once in a while.
Attention all units, this is the brain. Do not act like a man. Repeat, do not act like a man. I've seen this before. You're being lured into an ambush. Jesus Christ, get everybody the fuck out of there, and I mean now.
That was one funny guy. Hated to see him go. All right, speaking of comedy, it is the new Jon Stewart series debuting. This is going to be every other week. Got to have Apple TV Plus. Show's called The Problem with Jon Stewart. And it's going to be somewhat like the John Oliver thing in that they're going to take one issue facing America and then beat it to death for the entire, I think it's a 1 hour show. So again, that debuts today on Apple TV Plus. Cardinals have a day game today. Tonight, 8 o'clock on CBS, The Price is Right celebrates 50 years. There's going to be a tribute to Bob Barker, who is 97 years old right now. Drew Carey is going to host the entire thing. And again, speaking of comedians, Jay Leno says comedians need to adapt their material to survive in the cancel culture era. But see, comedians will tell you that no matter what you say now, somebody will find something wrong with something that you said. So you can be as careful as possible. And if somebody is gunning for you and they want your head on a stick, they'll get it. And also, the teaser is out for Dave Chappelle's new Netflix special. It's called The Closer. That's going to come out on Tuesday. You can see the little trailer for it today. Got a pretty big football game coming up on Sunday night. Tom Brady probably is going to break Drew Brees' all-time passing yards record during Sunday's game against the New England Patriots. That is going to get a monstrous audience on Sunday night. Brady only needs 68 yards. And Drew Brees says, oh, maybe Drew Carey did too. I don't know. He says, I'm a firm believer that records are meant to be broken. And I've never understood that little phrase. Records are made to be broken. I don't know. If I set the record, I want the record to last forever. And as good as that game is going to be on Sunday night, tonight, Thursday night football, you got Cincinnati hosting Jacksonville. And a new book claims Patriots owner Robert Kraft once called Bill Belichick, quote, the biggest fucking asshole in my life, end quote. A new David Bowie album coming out January 7th. It's called Toy. It was recorded back in the year 2000 and includes reworked versions of some of the Bowie songs from 64 to 71. Mayim Bialik destroyed her relationship with Neil Patrick Harris back in 1997 when she went to see him in Rent and didn't get up for the standing ovation. It turns out she hates musicals. They didn't talk for a long time, but Mayim says Neil has forgiven her. The reviews on Kylie Jenner's new swimwear line have been brutal so far. One woman on TikTok said, you can get better quality swimsuits for half the price at Target, and not to mention, they're kind of just as cute. Late night tonight, Jeff Daniels and Chloe Fineman from Saturday Night Live is going to be on Jimmy Fallon. Of course, new SNL episodes begin this Saturday night. Charlize Theron and Elvis Costello on with Kimmel. Stephen Colbert's got John Lithgow. Beth Baer, she used to be a broke girl. She's in that new series, whatever it's called. I have no idea. She's on with James Corden. Seth Meyers has Michael Gandolfini, and we're going to be talking about the Many Saints of Newark coming up here in just a little while. Also, Colin Jost from SNL will be on with Seth Meyers, and Trevor Noah has Jake Gyllenhaal. And may I just say that this new Weather Girl on in the morning on Fox 2, one of the worst and most obvious boob jobs I think I've ever seen in my life. You look at this woman, and she looks so divorced. New song from Springsteen and John Mellencamp out today. It's called Wasted Days. And Sammy Hagar says Van Halen tried to bury music from his time in the band since they reunited with David Lee Roth. All right, birthdays today. Marion Cotillard, the French actress, 46. Jenna Elfman from Dharma and Greg and Scientology, 50. Monica Bellucci, who's a Bond girl. She was in The Matrix. And she is a very, very handsome female, even at 57. Eric Stoltz from, oh my God, Mask, Pulp Fiction, Memphis Belle, 60 today. Fran Drescher, 64. Barry Williams, Greg from the Brady Bunch, 67. Marilyn McCoo, Fifth Dimension, 78. Johnny Mathis, 86. And Angie Dickinson, wow, 90 years old today. Babe Ruth hit home run number 60 of the season on this date back in 1927. Roger Maris broke it in 61 with the asterisk. James Dean killed in a two-car collision in California on this date, 1955. That was 66 years ago. Whitey Herzog's favorite TV show, The Flintstones, premiered on ABC back on this date, 1960. The Supremes released Love Child on this date, 68, Roberto Clemente hit number 3,000 for the Pittsburgh Pirates 49 years ago He was killed in a plane crash 3 months later on New Year's Eve doing charitable work in South America. And 4 years ago today, 2017, at the age of 96, Monty Hall from Let's Make a Deal checked out. Arby's. You know, they have the meats, okay? Arby's producing and promoting its own version of the McRib sandwich by selling hoodies and sweatpants that smell like smoked meat. Each article of clothing is hand-smoked by a real pitmaster and then vacuum-sealed. They don't go on sale until Monday at noon Eastern. If you want a pair, check out ArbysSmokedSweats.com. That's ArbysSmokedSweats.com. Speaking of meat, and I frequently am, bacon more expensive now than it's been in the last 40 years, even taking inflation into account. Supply hasn't been able to meet demand due to supply chain issues, and prices aren't expected to come down anytime soon. So they got all these DIY shows on TV, and it's making people feel slightly overconfident. I can do that. I watched it on TV. You need a new sink? Okay, fine, honey. Let me get the sledgehammer. Well, a new survey says the average person will spend 5 hours attempting a DIY project before finally calling a professional. And when it comes to bigger jobs, they'll spend 9 hours researching pros before hiring one. I'm not sure what is wrong with the bulletproof vests that police officers have been wearing for quite some time right now, but a guy in Illinois invented a new one, and he said to his pal the other day, I'm going to put this bulletproof vest on, so I need you to shoot me. He was rushed to the hospital. His condition is unknown. The police are investigating. Here's one, but for the crowd that needs to know this the most, they are also likely to be the crowd most likely to reject the information. But a study from MIT, I mean, this is like an MIT we're talking about here, has found that 19 of Facebook's top 20 pages for American Christians are run by troll farms in Eastern Europe. So be careful what religious groups you connect to. I used Airbnb for the first time at spring training 2 years ago, before the pandemic hit. And I, you know, did all the stuff and, you know, filled out all the forms and the whole thing. And they sent me to a place down near Jupiter, Florida. And I pulled up to the place and it was like, wait a minute. What a dump. As I go into the lobby, which basically consists of a guy standing behind a piece of plexiglass in a room that was slightly larger than a closet. They give me the key for the room. I go to the room. I open it up. It is an absolute dump. There's a bed in there that I wouldn't even touch, let alone sleep on. And here's the best part. You know, when I travel to do the show, like from spring training, I have all these computers and audio editing and microphones and another computer or two, and I have to take all this stuff with me to be able to do the show live from Roger Dean Stadium in Jupiter, Florida. The door to the hotel didn't close all the way. You could stand outside in the hallway and look into the room because the door was not flush with the door frame and the lock looked like something that all you'd have to do is throw a good body block into it and the whole thing would have popped up and I got the hell out of there immediately. And get this, they wouldn't give me my money back. So that was it for me and Airbnb. Have you ever checked in and you know, sort of found a similar situation? Here are the top 10 things that would make somebody walk out of a hotel immediately, according to a new poll. Dirty sheets, a disgusting bathroom, smelly room, bad smells in general, a rude staff, horrible food, stained carpets, loud noises, the lobby is gross, and no visible cleaning or housekeeping crew present. And I'm not going to play it for you today, but many of you recall a conversation we had with Caesar Milan, the dog whisperer, and I sort of got on him about the whole pit bull thing, and he was defending his pit bull. And you see these lovely stories on Facebook, the Dodo and stuff like that, where they show these, you know, abused pit bulls who just turn into loving, sweet little balls of animal fun. But my contention all along is that one of these pit bulls, when they go nuts, you know, their jaws are like hydraulic, and there's nothing you can do to loosen their grip. Can hit them in the head with a cinder block, and they don't let go. That's the problem with pit bulls. And he was like, well, no, you're talking about power now. And I just thought he was playing with semantics. Well, it turns out one of Cesar Millan's pit bulls is being accused of attacking a woman. And then also they say that his pit bull killed Queen Latifah's dog. And Tommy Kirk, who used to be in all those old Disney movies, Old Yeller, Swiss Family Robinson, the Shaggy Dog, died on Tuesday. He was 79. A little piece of my childhood going away there. Gonna take you down, deep down to the front line. Deep down. You woke up this morning, got yourself a gun. All right, well, tomorrow is the big day, the day that people who are Sopranos fans have been waiting for a long time, the release of the David Chase movie, The Many Saints of Newark. The short review is, it's a very, very extremely well-made movie that I think is going to satisfy the Sopranos fans. And one of the big discussions amongst movie critics and stuff like that is, can this movie stand alone? In other words, if you weren't a fan of The Sopranos, or maybe just a casual fan, can you walk into this movie and still enjoy it? And the answer is yes. There will be things that will go over your head, little references and things like that that you won't understand. It's still a very, very well-made movie. There's a little bit of Quentin Tarantino in all of this. And in particular, we're talking about the movie that focused on the year 1969, Once Upon a Time in Hollywood. Also a little bit of Goodfellas and all this, and that's to be expected. I love these period pieces from the 1960s. I suspect that The Many Saints of Newark is going to get a lot of recognition for art direction. You know, all the old cars from the 60s and the clothing and the hairstyles and the lingo and all that sort of stuff is really, really beautifully portrayed in this movie. And of course, for obvious reasons, everybody wants to know how James Gandolfini's son is as an actor portraying the young Tony Soprano, and the answer is terrific. Although he doesn't show up until about, I don't know, maybe like the last 45 minutes of the movie, because prior to that, you have two other young actors who portray a very much younger Tony Soprano. And as you're watching it, you're thinking to yourself, okay, I sort of got the idea that this movie was about Tony Soprano's youth and what turned him into what he became. So I was waiting for that for a big chunk of the movie, and that snuck up on me. It snuck up on me, and I think it's going to sneak up on you too. One of the things that was going on in big cities all over the country back in the late 60s is that the mob activity was starting to clash a little bit with the gangster activity that was run by the black population of these big cities, and that's portrayed in this movie as well. And people who make movies like this will tell you that it's really not that important to have actors cast who look like younger versions that we became familiar with in the Sopranos television series. But boy, did they do a good job on this. The guy who plays Junior looks exactly like him. The Vera Farmiga, who plays Tony Soprano's mother, and we'll all remember Vera Farmiga from the movie she shot in St. Louis with George Clooney and Anna Kendrick called Up in the Air. She plays Tony's mother. She looks exactly like her. You really, as you're watching this movie, you really feel like you are watching younger versions of all of these actors who were in The Sopranos. It's incredible. Now, we mentioned Goodfellas a little while ago. Of course, a tremendous breakout role for Ray Liotta. Well, he has a major role in this one, too. And there's a surprising twist in what happens, I guess you would say. I don't want to say too much here. I don't want to ruin the movie for you. But there's a development that ends up with Ray Liotta getting a lot more camera time than you would have expected. And I'll just leave it at that. Back in 2007, we had Ray Liotta on the old morning show, and we got talking about typecasting. You know, when you look at him, he just looks like he's made for some sort of mob movie. We got talking about that whole situation.
My first movie, something wild. The next thing I did was Dominic and Eugene, where I played this medical student with a brain-damaged brother. Then after Goodfellas, I played a heart surgeon in a movie. I was trying to balance it out from Good Guy because I definitely knew about typecasting. But then once you see what the reality of this business is and, you know, just dog-eat-dog, you just want to work, and you try to make the best choices you can based on that. I just did a finished a movie in Bulgaria that, you know, I don't think I'm going to put on my top 10 list, but it was an interesting character, and I don't recommend going to Bulgaria.
Oh, I wish I could explain to you why he ends up on camera so much in this movie, but I really can't because it'll spoil one of the big surprises in the movie with regard to Ray Liotta's character, or should I say characters. And again, I'm going to leave it right there. Now, again, since you're seeing all of these characters at a much earlier age, we find out that Silvio was balding terribly very, very early on in life, which accounts for that ridiculous thing that was on his head during the Sopranos series. But in addition to his acting, Little Steven involved, obviously, in the E Street Band, and also pushing a syndicated radio show that he was doing.
Yeah, it's been fun, actually. You know, at least at this point, I've lived three or four lifetimes. So, you know, I get a chance to get different audiences at different times, and they're all kind of starting to merge right now. There's a weird group of people who kind of, you know, follow whatever's going on, and that's nice. I think the acting thing, I'm not sure if it's exactly the same audience, to be honest. I mean, The Sopranos... You know, I mean, Silvio Dante would never listen to my show. You know what I mean? he hates this rock and roll crap. But you know, I'm sure there's some, and we try to be careful around the country to not have a direct conflict between the time that The Sopranos is on, just in case, you know.
And what's going to happen to Silvio this coming season?
Oh, you want me to tell you right now?
Yeah, give us everything.
By the way, the new season of The Sopranos that was announced yesterday begins March 7th on HBO. But if you want to tell us something, you can.
Well, I'm going to tell you one secret. During the course of the year, at some point, he's going to have a big bowl of pasta.
I'm not sure anybody is ever going to stop talking about the final episode of The Sopranos. And even after David Chase gave his take on what he thought actually went on in that little restaurant in the final episode, people are still arguing about it. We had an interesting conversation with Neil Sean of Journey.
Everybody wanted me to ask you about this. The final episode of The Sopranos.
You know, about 6 months prior, I remember getting an email where they were talking about the possibility of it. And then I just kind of forgot about it. I thought to myself, oh, that's interesting. If it happens, great. And, you know, I wasn't watching the last episode. I was busy. You know, my phone started blowing up and everything. Did you see that? You know, and I didn't see it. And so I saw it the next night, and I thought, that is just so amazing.
So they're all.
We have 10 things that have never before said on
I
The
see.
Sopranos.
All right.
Yeah, and here to present tonight's top 10 list, the cast members of the popular HBO series The Sopranos. Number 10, Dominic Chianese.
You don't have the money? That's cool.
There you go. Thank you, Dominic. Number 9, Aida Turturro.
Screw this home cooking. I'm going to the Olive Garden.
Yes. Number 8, Steven Van Zandt.
In addition to disposing of bodies, you'll need to know how to use PowerPoint and Excel.
Number 7, Robert Eiler.
Wasn't that the guy from Springsteen's E Street Band?
Number 6, Jamie Lynn Discala.
I just hooked up an illegal cable box, and now I'm getting free HBO.
Yeah, way to go. Number 5, Tony Sirico.
Tony, I'm going to need to leave early today for Rosh Hashanah.
Number 4, Drea Di Matteo.
I want a bigger part. What are you going to do, kill my character? Eh?
Number 5, Michael Imperioli.
Hey, Paulie, how about you and me going up to Massachusetts and getting married?
Number 2, Edie Falco.
I can't go to prison. Martha Stewart will eat me alive.
Yes, she will. And the number 1 thing never before said on The Sopranos, James Gandolfini.
I just whacked myself.
Hey, what? What? What?
So David Letterman putting a lid on our Sopranos segment. So here is the final analysis. This movie pretty much has everything you expect. It's everything you want. It is a beautifully made film. And again, I can't tell you how much I enjoyed the art direction. And, you know, when you do a period piece, you might as well dedicate yourself to it. And they really did on this. And I also want to say one more thing. The door appears to be open for another movie. The way this movie ends, and it ends just beautifully, effectively, you can see the little crack in the door that says, you could probably do another one and pick it up where this one leaves off. So we're giving 4 out of 5 corks to The Many Saints of Newark. And if you're saying, well, it sounds like you were really raving about the movie, JC, but you're now only giving it 4 out of 5. Well, there's a couple of reasons for that. Even in terrific, the best ever gangster movies, they still are slightly one-dimensional. You know it's going to be a series of stories and little subplots about people getting whacked and people being betrayed and people being double-crossed and all that sort of stuff that goes on in gangster movies. So just intrinsically, it's really, really hard to make one that is going to be a 5-star movie. That having been said, this is definitely worth your time. 4 out of 5 corks for The Many Saints of Newark, and it opens tomorrow in theaters and also it'll be streaming. And that's it. We're done. The Thursday, September 30th version of JC on the Line's JC Corcoran podcast right here, where we pop up every weekday morning at about 7 o'clock, sometimes a little late. That's my fault. Big thanks to our technical director, Everett Marshall, who makes the whole thing possible. We publish at about 7 Monday through Friday. It's absolutely free. And we archive all the shows. Email me at jc@jcontheline.com. Or on Facebook, you can follow me, The Showgram with JC Corcoran. Have a great day. Back tomorrow morning. In the meantime, we've beaten this one to death. Have a good one. See you later. Bye.
The JC Corcoran Podcast.